Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast Wild Card Weekend, and it's a big one. First time you got three games Saturday, three games Sunday. Should be very fun. I am one of your co-hosts here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Jimmy Trina, joined as always by my colleagues, Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling. I was a very pedestrian 2-2 with my best bets last week. How did the fellas do, Gary?
It was good. It was a good weekend for the team here. I think we were 10-4 total. I was 5-1. My one mistake, because let's really focus in on the negative. My one mistake was trusting that Tua could possibly move the ball and score points against the Bills' backups, and that was not the case. So, not even close on the Dolphins, but everything else came in.
Mitch, how'd you do?
I was 3-1, and I needed it. I had a couple of tough weeks in a row there. My strategy last week was just bet on the good teams to win, and it worked out with the Packers and the Saints. And my loss was I picked the Cowboys over the Giants. I should have just stayed away from the NFC East, but got what I deserved there. But 3-1, I'll take it.
Impressive. 5-1 and 3-1 for Gary and Mitch. Hopefully we can get you some playoff wins here. Like I said, three games each day, so we got six total to go through, and then we'll do some Super Bowl futures for you there. We've got the odds for who can win the Super Bowl. And there's a couple there I think are interesting. But let's get to the games first. We'll go in order here. Saturday to Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 4:40. And then I think it's 8:20 or 8:25. Kicks off Saturday, first game, the red hot Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen at home. Fans in the stands, 6,000, 7,000 against the Colts. Total here is 51, and the Bills are 6.5-point favorites. Gary.
Yeah, you can't pick against the Bills right now. Josh Allen's too hot. It's they're probably, even if this is a relatively close game, it's the kind of thing where they can pull away and end up winning by double digits, even if the Colts hang around. I will say this: I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to back away from it. I do like the under in this one. I think the Colts are built for January football. They have a run game. They have a young running back with fresh legs right now, because they didn't use him a whole lot in the first half of the season. And you have a defense. So, they could hang around, and we'll talk about the Colts. Well, I'll talk about the Colts a little bit in the futures bets. But I don't think they're winning this game. I'm not going to bet them. I think it maybe is a case where they hang around, and you can't pick against the Bills right now.
Yeah, 100% right. I mean, their mojo and them having their first home playoff game in forever, not literally forever. I think anyone who's actually listening to this podcast understands. It's been about 25 years or whatever. They're winning comfortably. They've been getting up early on teams and coasting. I mean, you got to have some concerns about their wide receivers being healthy. Stephon Diggs sounds like he wants to play. Beasley also uncertain, I think also questionable. We're taping this on Thursday evening. But also, John Brown being back is helpful if they do have an absence there. I think he's an underrated player, and he was huge for them last year when they were a good team, even not having Stephon Diggs. I think the Colts also have some concerns on their part with regard to injuries. DeForest Buckner, he hasn't practiced the last few days, so we don't know if he's going to be in there. It's funny. I think Indy's a good team. They're just running into a buzzsaw here. They're the 7 seed, and it was kind of a wild year where, 11 wins get to the 7 seed and needing help in week 17 just to get in. But still, I think they're a good team, and the Bills are a great team, and there's just a different class in the AFC where really, it's the Chiefs and the Bills are at the top, and then a lot of people want to make an argument for the Ravens, and the Steelers have been kind of on a downturn. Now I'm just listing all the teams in the AFC, I guess, for some reason. But all that to just say that I think the Bills are a better team, and I just think this is going to be such a huge the playoff atmosphere. I mean, they're going to be fired up. Everyone's fired up in the playoffs, so you hate to this time of year try and diagnose this team wants it more than that team, because obviously they both want it. But I just think, looking back at how the Bills season ended last year, where they had a lead early in the game into halftime against the Texans, and they really just melted down. And some of that was the decision making from Josh Allen, who is just miles ahead of where he was this time last year. The whole thing with the fans in the stands and everything that's been building to this, it just feels like you've got to pick the Bills. I'm with you, Gary. It might the Colts could keep it close. We'll see. You know, and I don't think I'm going to best bet this one, but has an obvious lean to me that I like Bills 6.5.
I love the Bills. You're laying less than a touchdown, which is great. I'm a big believer in most sports, but I think it's more true in the NFL than any other. It's all about the playoffs for me. You got to peak at the right time. You know, the teams that you think are going to go through the playoffs in week 8 are not what they end up being. The Bills are peaking at the right time. The Colts here have not played well, had that complete choke job collapse against the Steelers, struggled to beat the Bengals. So I love everything about this game in Buffalo's favor. I think I've said this on this podcast before. I think Gary's may have heard this maybe the first year. I was an old school Knicks fan when Pat Riley was the coach, and he wrote this book about the innocent climb and how a young team has to, on the rise, have that failure first before they can go to the next step. The Bills had that last year, losing that playoff game in Houston. I think now they get that playoff win. Then it becomes, can they cover? It's less than a touchdown with a quarterback who's playing as well as anyone right now. So I love the Bills in the first game of wildcard weekend. Next game, I don't love the game at all. Maybe it's because these are two weird teams and we've seen them play already twice. Seahawks -3 against the Rams. Total here is 42, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that might surprise some people who've listened to this podcast or read stuff I've written the last few years. I have been a longtime Seahawks supporter, and I put them in the Super Bowl before the season. I feel like I've picked the Seahawks to make a deep playoff run a lot. Gary, you may remember this. A couple off seasons ago, the MMQB had a roundtable where we had everyone, like 14 people, predict who would win the next 5 Super Bowls. And I was proudly the only person who said Seattle would win a Super Bowl over that time frame, because I love Russell Wilson, and I love what Pete Carroll's been able to do with that defense. And obviously, you can see where this is going as I'm teeing it up. I'm picking the Rams to not just cover, but I actually have them winning this game outright. I just think I worry about the matchup for Seattle and, you know, the Rams. So looking at the numbers, the Rams are 5-3 against the Seahawks since Sean McVay arrived in 2017. I know 5-3 doesn't sound like a giant advantage. It had actually been 5 of the last 6 meetings were wins until Seattle just won that game in week 16. And so, you know, you're welcome to take that and say, well, they just beat them two weeks ago. How are you going to use that as, you know, as an excuse to say that they've owned them? But, you know, if you're looking for upsets, for an underdog to win a game outright in the playoffs, I think this is a great spot to look, where you've got two division rivals who know each other very well. And the underdog coming in on the road, you know, is capable of winning, you know, has beaten them before, has, you know, again, the coaching staffs, they know each other. And, you know, looking at Seattle, it feels like they have, I mean, I guess you have mixed feelings. Their defense has definitely gotten better, and that's very important, but the offense has really been struggling. They had that laugher against the Jets, where they won 40-3. That is the only time they've scored more than 26 points since week 11, and the only time they've scored more than 28 since week 9. And it just feels like the Rams' defense has been so good. People are talking about Brandon Staley possibly as a head coaching candidate, but that defense has been really good that they ought to be able to hold Seattle to around 20 to 23 points again. And, you know, Russell Wilson, everyone knows the story, let Russ cook, and he was an MVP through the first 6 weeks or whatever. But they just really, you know, their offense has tailed off, which is interesting seeing their defense go in the opposite direction. And I know obviously there are concerns because we don't know if Jared Goff is going to be playing. And so now I'm sitting here saying, John Wolford, let's pick him to win his first, his second NFL start, his first playoff game on the road. But, you know, Jared Goff wasn't playing that well for a while. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that John Wolford is better than him. But it was the whole situation was just interesting, where McVay is talking publicly about Jared Goff. People were making a big deal about that. But I just think, even if, you know, and Goff was throwing the ball, so maybe he'll play. But it just feels like, you know, him missing week 17, possibly taking a step back, like it just gave McVay and their coaching staff time to just really look at, like, you know, here's what's working, whether we have Goff and he's limited or he's 100% or we've got Wolford. It just feels like I trust that coaching staff to look at what team they have and what they're capable of and build a plan. I wish the spread was 3.5, because then this would be, I'd be, you know, even more all over it. But seeing it at 3 points, I'm happy to take the points here. I think the Rams can easily win the game outright. And I also think even if Seattle does win, we've seen Seattle play in all kinds of weirdo games with stupid final scores, and they could win the game by a point or two, and the Rams could still cover. So I really like LA here.
Gary.
Yeah, I like the Rams. This was sitting at 3.5 earlier today, and I really liked it then. I still like it at 3. I mean, I had mentioned a couple weeks ago when they played in Seattle, they were only getting like a point and a half when we taped the show, and that was not quite enough to take. The other thing to keep in mind with Goff, I have a feeling Goff's going to be back. Obviously, no one can say for sure right now. Andrew Whitworth is back. You saw what that quarterback did and what that offense did without Whitworth, and you try not to go nuts about one offensive lineman, but they changed the way they played a little bit without Whitworth. It was a more conservative offense. It's not a deep throwing offense anyway, but it really got conservative with the passing game when Whitworth is out and they didn't trust the protection. Getting Whitworth back in there, I think it gives them a little bit of that security. Maybe it gives Goff a little bit of sort of psychological security at this point if he's back in the lineup. Goff did drop by a full yard per attempt while Whitworth was out over the last the last six games this season. So for that reason, I do like the Rams here. Obviously, if Walford's playing, you feel a little bit worse about it, but the defense keeps them around. And, you know, you go on the road, Seattle, not a big home field advantage, all that stuff we've been talking about all season.
I haven't picked a Rams game correctly, I think, the whole season. So I don't know where to go with this. I watched last week, John Wolford, if he's playing, you know, Seahawks -3 is a steal. But I have a feeling Goff's going to play. I have no feel. I don't know where to even go with this one. If anything, I like the under. I feel like the Seahawk offense has not done anything lately. It's been weeks outside. I think Mitch mentioned it outside of the Jets game. The Seahawk offense has not been lighting up the scoreboard at all here, and the Rams struggle to score points. So if I had a lean, I'd go under, but I don't like the game. The next game, Tom Brady gets prime time on Saturday night. Bucks -8 in Washington. Washington hosting a game with their tremendous record there, winning the NFC East. And the total here is 45. Can the Washington football team hang with the GOAT, Gary?
The defense can hang around. It's going to be that crappy turf. It's going to be an ugly game. They'll try and make it. The real question here, if you're betting the side, or even if you're betting the total, the real question here is, do you believe in what the Bucs just did over the last 2.5 games of the season when they lit up the Falcons, the Lions, and the Falcons? I'm not quite buying that. I do think very much, I don't want to overstate this. Tom Brady does not fold when you get heavy pressure on him consistently, but he's a different quarterback when you get heavy pressure on him consistently. I think Washington is capable of doing that. So right there, I think you downgrade the Bucs offense, your expectations for them. And obviously Washington, we saw it Sunday night. I mean, they almost gave that game back to Nate Sudfeld. It was wild just watching two teams refuse to win a football game. But this thing's going to be like, what, 17-6? Something like that? I love the under here. I love under 45. I don't know if I bet the side. I'd probably lean Washington because when you get an ugly game like that, for it to be one possession, it just takes one weird turnover, one tipped interception, something like that, to sort of swing the points in your direction.
Mitch.
Yeah, I like the Bucks here. I'm a little scared off. I mean, it is 9 points. Earlier in the day, it was 8 points, and then it just moved up to 9, but I'm still doing it. Washington, they can't score. I've watched their last two games. They're just playing so bad on offense, and now, like, Ron Rivera is talking about possibly rotating between Alex Smith and Taylor Heinicke within the same game, and you know, when has that worked? I mean, it would be one thing if they just said Alex Smith isn't healthy. We're going to have Heinicke play. We're going to give him all the first team reps this whole week in practice and game plan around him. But to go, you know, to have them like subbing in for each other, like, you know, we've seen teams do that with like Lamar Jackson as a rookie, or like, you know, Colin Kaepernick relieving Alex Smith, or like Michael Vick on the Eagles. But the idea of like, well, don't worry, we've got the Taylor Heinicke package coming in for a couple of series this game is just not exciting to me. And I do think Alex Smith, you know, whether it's his injury. I mean, I think the injury is a big part of it. Some of his struggles lately, I just think they're in trouble. And yeah, I mean, to score enough points to win this game, they're going to need either a defensive touchdown or, you know, a turnover where they get the ball at the 10 or 15 yard line and punch it right in. You know, it obviously it's a concern. I mean, you've got Chase Young trash talking Tom Brady, which, you know, good luck, have fun with that. But, you know, it's fun to see. I like seeing that kind of stuff from the players. But yeah, I mean, Brady, he is going to be worse with pressure on him. But I also do trust him to understand, you know, we're playing against a team with a good pass rush. Let me get rid of the ball quickly. And I think he's smart enough. He's been in so many big games. He obviously, you know, he knows what he's doing. And you know, I have to say, so Mike Evans, it's a concern if he's out, but I will say I've been a little cautious to, like, give them credit for the Antonio Brown move, which, you know, people talked about when he joined, whatever. But I will say Antonio Brown has looked a lot better the last few weeks. He's just, it feels like one or two times a game he makes a play where it's like, wow, that's like, you know, kind of the Antonio Brown we remember. I don't think he can do that for 60 minutes anymore, but I have been impressed by what I've seen. And so, you know, signing him looks a lot smarter, knowing that they're going to lose Mike Evans if he's unable to play. And I just think he still has enough weapons there that I think the Bucs are going to be able to score enough points. They've looked so good the last few weeks. And so even though the spread is a little bit higher than I'd like, I feel pretty comfortable taking the Bucs here.
Love the Bucs. As good as the Washington defense is, I think Brady will get the job done. I would have liked this matchup for Brady if he had like James White in his Patriot days where he could just dump it off while that D-line is chasing him. He doesn't have that, but I think he'll be able to adjust even without Mike Evans. That offense is rolling. Washington from a they just can't, they're not going to be able to keep up with Tampa Bay on the scoreboard. They can't put points on the board at all. And I love that Chase Young decided to do something very stupid, because as someone who's going to bet the Bucks, that really makes me feel confident. He is That is not the player you want to say something about. It's just not.
You guys just wait until Chase Young lines up in the Wildcat for Washington and takes 40 offensive snaps, and
he'd be better than all our other options.
Some big numbers here. When do you do that? At what point do you do that?
I don't think you can do that to Alex Smith. I mean, he's serviceable. It's not like Alex Smith is not Nick Sudfeld, but their offense is putrid. I mean, it really is putrid.
It is.
So, but yeah, I mean, good luck trash talking the best player who's ever played that position, Chase Young.
But you still love it. I mean, we want.
I love it
because
if I was betting if I was going to bet Washington, I wouldn't love it. It would scare me away. Tom is. If you don't think he's got that, if you don't think that he's got that right in front of his brain on Saturday night.
Tom Brady didn't care about winning the Super Bowl his first year away from the Patriots until Chase Young trash talked, and now he's motivated to win the game.
I think he's going to be motivated to show the guy, like, be careful what you wish for. Sunday, first game up, Baltimore -3.5 at Tennessee. Little repeat of last year's shocker when Tennessee went into Baltimore and pulled off the upset. Now Baltimore goes into Tennessee. 3.5-point favorites for the Ravens. Biggest total of the weekend, 54.5, Mitch.
Yeah, so the Ravens are road favorites here. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't. Would people be as surprised if the Titans won? It feels like everyone, I'm looking around the internet looking at picks, and it feels like just about everyone is picking Baltimore here. They are hot, and they look great. You know, I don't know. I like the Ravens to win. I'm a little cautious. I'm not going to be best betting them, but I think I've got to lean the Ravens. If I expect them to win the game, I'm not going to shy away too much from a 3.5-point spread. You know, I was looking back at that game last year, which was so surprising at the time. Lamar Jackson had 365 yards passing and 143 yards rushing, and they somehow scored 12 points, which is kind of amazing. He had two interceptions and a fumble, and they had their fourth down conversion failures. I think that was the big stat of the game. Like, they hadn't failed on a 4th-and-1 all season or something, and they did it 2 or 3 times that game. Maybe I didn't look back at the game as close as I should. I should have these stats perfectly memorized, but I don't. Yeah, and then the Titans beat them again this year. It was a fourth-quarter comeback, and then Derrick Henry scored a 30-yard rushing touchdown in overtime. I feel like I've been on the Titans a lot this season, but I just think the Ravens are playing so well right now. I think they're the third best team in the AFC, as I said earlier, behind just the Chiefs and the Bills, who are on a different tier from everyone else. But this does feel like a close game. This, to me, actually, this feels like it should be in the divisional round. It just feels like those teams are that good that we're seeing them next week. You know, I think a big storyline, everyone's going to talk about the playoff stuff with Lamar the last 2 years. And Jimmy, another good example of your Pat Riley book, where the Ravens have had some failure the last couple years. And, you know, both teams are motivated. I don't want to read too much into that, but it does kind of feel like the Ravens have been on this mission and they're building toward this. And they've just become a more complete team. You know, they had all the COVID issues and their schedule getting messed up in the middle of the season. And what are they on, a six-game winning streak coming into the playoffs here? I think they're the more complete team. You know, both teams have a good offense and the Ravens have a better defense. So I just think they're the most complete team. And so, you know, the Titans, and I'm going to talk about the Titans later in this podcast when we talk about futures. But for this week, I think if I've got to go somewhere, I'm picking the Ravens to win the game and I'm leaning them to cover.
Gary.
Yeah, the I hate that the line climbed from 3 to 3.5, but had I not seen the 3 originally, I probably would have bet the Ravens anyway. They led the league in point differential. You know, I love my red zone adjusted point differential. They also led by a significant margin in that category. I think they're a top 5 team. I think the Titans are somewhere on the second tier, or if you want to call it third tier, where the Chiefs are first tier, and then it's sort of Ravens, Bills on that second tier in the AFC. But I think the Ravens are absolutely an elite team. I think once they got their offense figured out over the last month, and I know people will say, well, they didn't play world beaters, but the point is they found ways to move the ball with all the injuries on the offensive line, with the you know, they lost all their tight ends and they had been so tight end heavy in the past. They found a way to do it, and there are a handful of teams that went out there and tried to defend Lamar the way that teams used to defend Lamar and sort of say, well, we'll make him throw the ball, and it didn't work. They put up a ton of points. Their average margin of victory over this 5-game win streak was a little more than 19 points. So I'm all in on the Ravens. I'll take them given the 3.5 points in this one.
Yeah, now I'm nervous because I love the Ravens too. So all three of us are on it. I don't see Tennessee doing it. Their defense is so bad. Their defense is so bad. There's just no way they're going to be able to do what they do. You know, I think the Ravens obviously have revenge on their mind. I think that's a big, big factor coming off of last year. I just don't see. I could see, this is a playoff game. I could see Baltimore putting 40 plus up. Can't you?
The Titans have given up. Let me look at their schedule. They've given up 40 points in games. Yeah. They've been in some high scoring ones.
Yeah. I love the Ravens. I mean, just look at how they're playing. Look at the talent. I've seen nothing from the Titans that makes me think they're going to win this game. I mean, when you have to basically go to the last second to beat the Texans to get in the playoffs, that's, you got to be worried if you're a Titans fan. I love the Ravens here. Second game on Sunday, Bears go into New Orleans. Saints 10-point favorites, total 47.5, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Saints here. I'll probably stay away because it is such a big number. And look, it's postseason football and all that stuff. But, you know, kind of loss. We were all dazzled by Mitchell Trubisky down the stretch. And you know, we couldn't see anything else. The Bears defense, they're still very good. They're not elite. I don't think it's a unit that stands on its head here in the postseason like a 2015 Broncos or a 2000 Ravens or whoever it was, whereas I think that might have been that kind of unit a couple years ago. I don't think it's that. I don't think they necessarily, they probably slow down the Saints a little bit. They're, like I said, it's a quality defense. It's just not a great defense. And what you saw last week from the Bears is, you know, they for all they knew, that was a win and in game. It was a do or die game for them. And what do? They scale back the offense again. It was the same stuff they did with Trubisky earlier in his career, where they just didn't want him to lose the game. And then, of course, they lose the game by a pretty significant margin anyway. And I'll just say, I don't necessarily blame them for it, because if you do look at the tape of Trubisky in the games that they won, when they rolled it up in Jacksonville, I mean, he threw some just exceptionally ugly passes in that game that just never should have been thrown into spots they shouldn't have been thrown to. So I think they're just as worried about Trubisky as they would have been a year ago. I think they are going to be too cautious, and I think just, you know, whatever, Saints are going to get their points. Saints are going to get their 27 to 35 points in this one. I don't think the Bears get out of the teens.
Mitch?
I think 10 points feels just too high. And it's funny because I know that I just told you I like the Bucks at -9. I'm like twisting myself in knots here. My initial reaction was I talked myself into Bears +10 and Bucks -8. And then that game went to 9. And I was like, well, 9's fine. I already talked myself into it. And now I'm like, oh, 10 in this other game is a little bit too much. I don't know. It feels like if this was week 16 and I saw that the Saints were favored by double digits against the Bears, against a pretty average, mediocre Bears team, you know, the definition of that, what, an 8-8, you know, I probably wouldn't blink twice. But seeing this in a playoff game, it just feels like 10 is a lot. And I think it might be a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw from the Bears last week. I'm not going to defend that game, getting crushed by the Packers in a game that, Gary, like you said, they thought they needed to win to get in. But, you know, they were more impressive in the month before that. And the Saints, again, you know, they have issues with their running backs where it sounds like Alvin Kamara will play, but he won't have practiced at all because of his time on the COVID list and when he's allowed back. I know Latavius Murray and their other running backs are activated in time to practice, but, I don't, you know, it's possible that they're going to be careful with those guys. And especially, you know, if they're up like 13, 14 points, you wonder if they're going to not like, whole guys aren't going to do that in a playoff game, but I don't know. It could be a rotation. We could still see some Ty Montgomery and a lot of Taysom Hill and whatever, and I know that they can still win that way, and the Saints are complete on both sides of the ball. But I just think, you know, given some of those issues, I don't think it's impossible that we could see a close game here. You know, I don't know. Part of me just, it feels like there's all this momentum on, you know, the Bears are saving Matt Nagy's job, and I just think take the points. You know, part of it, it's possible I'm just a sucker and get sucked in every year this time to like wanting all the playoff games to be fun and exciting. And I think I've done this in years past where I've liked big underdogs to cover, because in my head it's like going to be this great weekend of playoff games, when in reality, like, this feels like the game that should be the crappy Saturday afternoon time slot game in a lot of years. But I guess they just decided that Drew Brees will get better TV ratings than Bills Colts, even though it feels disrespectful to the Bills that they put them in the early game. But now I'm on my soapbox again. All this to say, I've been on the fence about whether or not it's going to be a best bet for me, but I do think I like the Bears with the points.
Chicago, number 3 TV market in the country. That's why they get the 440 game there on Sunday. And I echo what the both of you said. I just think 10 is too high. Mitch said it, but, you know, 10 for a playoff game is high. I'm already on favorites already this week. I don't want to pick another one here. Backdoor will be open, I'm sure, here with 10. So I don't think the Bears are winning this game at all. But... And I would never put my money on Trubisky, so I got to stay away from it. I'm nervous about a cover here with New Orleans. So it's a stay away game for me. I don't even really have a lean when you throw in the spread. The
Jimmy, last it's funny. Game, I'm actually with you a little bit on the calculus, where because I like the Bills -6.5 and the Bucks -9, part of me is like, I can't have all of these favorites. They're not all going to win by double digits.
Right.
That, so yeah, this is gotta, the one that is like, you know,
listen,
I think is close.
There's going to be one or two upsets here. There's going to be one or two underdogs who win outright. You got to, you know, if you're on the favorites, you got to navigate it where you're, you know, you don't get caught there. And speaking of underdogs, you know, terrible situation here with Cleveland. They finally break the drought. They get in the playoffs, and they got all these crazy issues with COVID. They go into Pittsburgh, Steelers -6. The total here is 47.5 here on Sunday night. Mitch.
Yeah, this is just a total stay away from me. You know, I feel awful, like you said, that this is a playoff game, but we've been doing this all season, and we've seen all kinds of games involving teams where there's, you know, uncertainty. They haven't had practice all week. Here, the coach isn't going to be there, and, you know, seeing names of guys like Joel Bitonio and Denzel Ward, facilities closed and everything, and it's just like, you know, I feel bad, like the whole season comes down to this game. But it's like, you know, I don't know how you can pick this team. They still have talented players. Could they pull this miracle with the guys that they have after not practicing sure they could, but you know, everything says you'd expect the Steelers to beat up on them with given the week that they've had. I'm just, we've been staying away from games like this all year, it feels like, and I don't want to force myself to take a side just because it's the playoffs and think that I have to, you know, pick every game or best bet or whatever. It's, you know, I think the Steelers are going to win given everything going on, and I'm just staying away from the spread.
Gary.
Yeah, I lean Steelers in this one. Again, a lot of volatility here. I think losing Stefanski is a big deal. I think that's sort of out there, though. I feel like that's built into the line to an extent. I mean, he was on fire as a play caller. What we saw when the Browns went into Pittsburgh earlier this year, when it was not the Mason Rudolph era with the Steelers, is it's just a bad matchup for this team. Baker does not have good numbers when pressured. The Steelers obviously create a ton of pressure. The real question is, are we going to see the Steelers dink and dunk, or are we finally going to see them just say, all right, well, Ben's got to get hit at some point. We probably, there's nothing to save him for. I mean, what, we're saving him for 2021? So I think they do finally go out there and open things up enough if they have to, but I don't know if they really have to. So I'll probably not best bet this one, but I do have a pretty heavy Steelers lean here.
So hard to analyze it with the COVID situation. I lean Cleveland, which sounds crazy because, like Gary said, they're not going to have their head coach who's been on a roll. But here's what I think. I am not going to let one half of football against the Colts 2 weeks ago make me believe in the Steelers after they played so poorly for like 6 weeks, lost to the Bengals, the game in Dallas. You know, they did not play well. I mean, embarrassed in Buffalo. They did not play well at all for about 2 months outside of one half of football against the Colts. So it's hard for me now to go Pittsburgh minus six on this. And I, you know, they've had defensive injuries all year. They've played well, but, you know, TJ Watt, you don't know if he's 100%, even though, I mean, TJ Watt at 50% is kind of an animal. But I think the Browns can keep it close here. I, you know, do I expect them to win? I don't know. Probably not. But like I said, one or two of these underdogs are going to win outright. If you made me pick the one I think has the best chance to do it, I might say Cleveland, only because I think the Steelers have played so poorly. And, you know, Gary said, you know, they're going to let Ben throw it downfield. Can he throw it downfield? I mean, at this point, who knows what he's capable of? He's an old man at this point. So I'm not going to pick Cleveland probably, but my lean would be take the points, and you know, obviously wish it was seven, but it's only six. Seven, maybe it goes up by seven. Who knows? Pittsburgh is a team, a lot of people on, you know, the public backs. So maybe you get a line jump there. All right, that is the little roundup of the six playoff games, 3-3 Saturday, Sunday. We'll quickly give you some thoughts here on Super Bowl props if you want to make some money now on who's going to win the Super Bowl. I'll read you the odds quickly, and then we'll go to the guys here. Chiefs are the favorites, plus 225. These lines come on DraftKings. 225 for the defending champion Chiefs. Next up, Packers, plus 450. Bills, plus 700. And Saints, plus 750. Bucks, plus 1,000. Ravens, plus 1,100. And then you sort of get into crazy territory. Seahawks plus 1,400. Steelers plus 1,800. Tennessee plus 2,800. Rams plus 3,000. Colts plus 4,000. Browns plus 5,000. And then Bears, Washington plus 10,000. So those are the odds. The two that jump out for me, I said last week, I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. And you get them plus 700 here. And the Bucks plus 1,000 just because of Tommy. You're looking to get lucky here, catch fire. Bills plus 700, Bucks plus 1,000 would be the two I would take a flyer on. Let's go to Gary.
Yeah, my theme is going to be defense here. Among these sort of the favorites, the ones who are less than plus 1,000 here, I do like the Saints at plus 750. I think they have a better path to the Super Bowl than the Bills do. They don't have to go through the Chiefs. Of course, the Saints would have to likely beat the Chiefs, but at least would be on a neutral field if that that matchup were to come about.
Let me ask you this question with that logic. Who do you think would be tougher right now, playing the Chiefs in KC or the Packers in Green Bay?
Chiefs in KC.
Really? You know,
I,
they don't
I,
try?
I, I think the Chiefs are on their own tier. I think the Chiefs are on their own tier because you've seen it, and a lot of people are, you know, oh, Mahomes, you know, the cumulative stats aren't great the last couple weeks, throwing some interceptions, yes, yes, yes. If the Chiefs need to make up 14 points in the last 5 minutes of a game, they do it.
Fair.
I mean, you know, it's they're not we're all shaking our fists at them because they didn't cover enough, but they just they win. They lost essentially one game in the last year and a half. Yes. So
in real life, not where we not where it matters for us.
So I'd and like I said, Chiefs are I think the Chiefs are rightfully heavy favorites. It's no fun to bet them though. I circled the Ravens at plus 1100. Like I said, I think the Ravens are on that elite tier of sort of the non-Chiefs contenders. I think they're right there with the Packers, Bills, Saints, and the long shots. I like the Rams. I like the Colts. You got defense. You got run games. Like I said, I don't think the Colts get out of Buffalo this week. Do you get the 8% chance that Josh Allen goes into a slump? Yeah, maybe. And if you win that game, the Colts have played very well against the Chiefs. I don't know if anyone remembers because it was a 13-10 game, but Colts went into Kansas City on a Sunday night last season in October and really held down Mahomes. A little bit of a shorthanded Chiefs offense, so I don't want to go nuts about it, but I think they have a pretty good bead on what the Chiefs do offensively at this point.
So your picks were Colts and Saints.
I just named all 14 teams actually. No Saints. Saints and
yeah.
Saints and Ravens. And then if you want to put a buck down on someone, I do the Rams and I do the Colts.
Okay, Rams no chance. Mitch.
Yeah. So I feel the same way as Gary. Like to me, it's only fun to do this if you're gonna put money on long shots here and try to win big. You know, I like the Bills at plus 700. You know, just looking at that number compared to the Chiefs at 225 and the Packers at 450, I do think there is some decent value there. But that's not fun. Let's talk longer shots. Now, I know that I said that I like the Ravens to win this weekend against Tennessee, but I actually kind of like the Titans value at plus 2800, even though I think they are going to lose this week. I just think, like, everyone fell in love with them last year, and it was like they won that game in Foxborough, and then I think we saw the bandwagon start to fill up, and then after they won in Baltimore, it really filled up last year. And I just think if they do win, if they beat Baltimore again, I think you're going to see a lot of people thinking, like, oh, are they doing it again? And people are going to want to talk themselves into it as having a chance against those top teams. I don't necessarily think so, but just looking at these numbers, like the Ravens are plus 1,100 and the Titans are plus 2,800. I think, I just think it should be a little bit closer than that. And so I kind of like the Titans. But don't blame me if you do that and it doesn't work out, because I also said that they're going to lose this week. And then, Gary, I'm with you on the Rams, but I actually, instead of picking them to win the whole thing, they are plus 1,300 just to win the NFC. And I don't hate that. I think the NFC is a little bit more open just because you don't have the Chiefs and Bills. I know the Packers are good and whatever. You know, I would not pick the Rams to win the Super Bowl against any of those top teams in the
Rams,
AFC.
The Rams would lose by 50 if they went into Green Bay in an NFC title game.
Okay, that's
defense travels, Jimmy. I don't think they'd go in and win, but defense travels. They have
win.
Let me make this point against the Rams before I convince myself to mortgage my house to bet them here. They went into Tampa and won. They went into Buffalo on a day when their defense didn't show up in the first half because it was a 1 o'clock game. That was really weird in the camera here, having my finger like right there. They went into Buffalo and you know, they were a pass interference, ticky-tack pass interference call away from beating the Bills in Buffalo. They travel well. I don't think they're going into Lambeau and winning. I don't think they're getting out of the divisional round, quite frankly. But I don't know. At those numbers, I'm with Mitch.
Again, the Packers would beat the Rams by 50 in Lambeau Field.
That's fine, but you're sitting, you're holding onto that Rams plus 1,300 ticket. You can hedge a little bit with Green Bay money line, figure it out later. It's fine. I like him. That Gary's with me. What a guy, Gary. And everyone saw, shout out to our YouTube audience who got to see him really shaking his finger at the screen, making his point there. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was super weird.
All right, well, that's how we feel about some Super Bowl futures. So we'll keep track of those and see how they pan out in several weeks. And
the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, so I think we'll see how they pan out.
The Bills will win. Enjoy the two days of football Saturday and Sunday, basically all day on the chair and in the couch. Good luck with the wagers. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Are we not doing best bets this week?
I felt like we did them. My bad.
The Rams are such a stone cold lock to win the Super Bowl that it just felt like we. What else do we need to give you people?
Wow, that was bad. All right, let's do the best bets. Mitch, what do you got?
I just want best bets. I want to be Chase Young taunting Jimmy's Tom Brady here. That we need some conflict. We need people to be able to root for some of us. That's what this is all about. No, we did. We got a very nice tweet from somebody who said that they won their spread pick'em poll this season by following our advice, which was amazing, actually, considering our record in some of these weeks. But shout out to everyone who's been following us all season. I have four best bets. Three that I feel good about, one that I have decided to talk myself into, but obviously the Rams +3 in Seattle, as has been discussed now at length. And I do like Buffalo -6.5 against the Colts. I'll go with the Bucks -9 in Washington and have talked myself into the, I'm taking Mitch Trubisky and the Bears, really taking the points, Bears +10 in New Orleans.
Gary,
you only get one chance to bet Mitch Trubisky in the playoffs here. The one I like best is a Bucks and football team. I love the under 45 there, and I should have thrown on this trend before, but wild card games last decade total between 42 and 50. That's four of them this weekend. 36 unders, only 10 overs. So this fits that. And like we said, Washington can't score points anyway. So under 45 there. And then I've got Baltimore -3.5 at Tennessee and Rams +3 in Seattle.
I hate giving you three favorites, but I got three favorites. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better next week. Bucks -8. Ravens -3.5. Bills -6.5. That will wrap up.
We're not really against each other in too many games here, are we? I think we agree on a lot of stuff, and we're spread around a bit.
Yep.
We'll see
how it goes. So that'll wrap it up for us here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Enjoy the game Saturday and Sunday, and good luck with the wagers. We'll see you next week right here.